The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
But I'm delighted to say that we're joined on the line by the now former Dublin All-Ireland seven-time champion, Paddy Andrews. Good morning to you, Paddy.
Morning, lads. How are you getting on?
Good, thanks. And thanks a million for jumping on the line this morning. Looking forward to this chat over the last few days. One thing that struck me that I wanted to ask you about off the top was we had Paul Murphy, the recently retired Kilkenny hurler, on with the lads during the week, and he was talking about the conversation with Brian Cody when he decided to hang up his hurl, which he said lasted all of a minute. How much did you knock out of Desi?
He's probably, it wasn't much longer now, to be fair. Now, for me, I would have spoken with Desi maybe at this stage last year, coming into the championship, and it was open. Like, when you get to a certain age, you kind of reassess at the end of every year. You go, am I still adding value to the team? Do I kind of mentally and physically, do I still have the hunger and the energy to go again? So you kind of would have decided and had conversations throughout last year around, look, that this is more than likely going to be the end of the road for me. And personally, how the championship turned out, you know, we obviously didn't play a lot, and injuries had kind of mounted up and things like that as well. So I was pretty certain I was going to go even after the All-Ireland pre-Christmas. So I would have had those conversations with Desi. So it was kind of well teed up in advance. So look, when you make the call and it becomes real and you confirm it, there's obviously, you know, a little bit of a emotion, I suppose, involved that it's the end of the road after such a long time. But the conversation, I'd say, was probably about 2 to 3 minutes max. So I think it just outlasted Paul. But he was happy with the decision and I was happy with the decision. So it's just the right time for me, definitely, yeah.
Is there a part of you still in those conversations, like even into last year, hoping that Desi is going to say, no, listen, you're still offering plenty around the dressing room, we'll still be looking to call on you?
No, look, that would have been the case at this stage last year, where basically Desi was obviously a new coach that had come in and would have coached a lot of the younger guys to success at minor and under 21 level. I'd actually never played under him. And just after the five in a row, obviously in September 2019, there's probably six or seven players, myself included, in that bracket where you're kind of looking going, it did feel like the culmination of something, you know, and then obviously we've been working towards that for so long. Jim and his management team moved on. So it was kind of like, you know, I definitely would have had thoughts, and a few of us probably would have, that is maybe this the right time to call it a day. But look, I said it, I'd meet and have a chat with Desi and kind of see what he wanted to do. You know, a new manager could come in and say, look, I want to put my own stamp on things and clear out all the older guys nearly in a way. And on the flip side, you could come in and say, no, we want to keep these guys around to kind of keep that continuity and things like that. So we would have had a really good chat with him at this stage last year. And we both agreed that it was definitely the case to stay on. I stay on for the year and see what would happen. And just for me, the way it turned out with injuries and stuff like that, and pretty unique year, obviously, with COVID as well. So it's just a bit messy, and I ended up being injured for most of the year as well. So, yeah, that's probably a sign that it's the right time to get out the door.
Yeah, it doesn't help. You've had one of the wildest, and I mean that in the most positive sense, inter-county careers, I think, of anybody looking back over the landmarks of your career. So you go from being a cornerback who gets scorched by Gooch in 2009, you fall off the panel.
Thanks,
after
yeah.
that, you come back to become one of the... We're not going to get through the interview without mentioning that, right? So tell us,
yeah, it's getting out of the way early.
What happened? How did you end up there? Because this was not your forte.
No, like, it absolutely wasn't. And as was clearly evident when I actually played there. I suppose it shows at that time with Dublin, we definitely didn't have the depth of panel and player probably that we have today and things like that. But how I eventually ended up being back there, it started in DCU, and I'd always been a forward growing up and was on the last international rules team, the under-18 team, so they cancelled it after that year. But we went to Australia in 2006, I think it was, and Niall Minor, who's kind of the head of sport in DCU, was the coach of that team. So we had a brilliant team. Like, Michael Murphy was on it, Gary Brennan from Clare, Pierce Hanley, who had a career in AFL after that. So we had a great team. And because Niall was the coach, about 10 or 11 of us ended up going to DCU the following year. and playing freshers football. And we basically arrived down for freshers training that the following September or October. And we just had too many forwards. We basically had no backs. I was kind of shoehorned in to play centre half back on the freshers team. And we won the freshers All-Ireland. We won it quite handily, obviously, because we basically half the Irish under 18 team playing for us. And it snowballed from there that I was obviously put into the backs, but I played well, we were successful. And it just, I think, Pilar Caffrey was the manager of Dublin at the time and brought me onto the Dublin panel. And it's very, very different playing centre half back in an all conquering college team than playing cornerback at senior inter-county level. So I found that lesson out pretty quickly.
Do you remember the conversation, Paddy, when Pat says to you, listen, I'm putting you in on Gooch?
I actually do. We have quite a laugh about this now. It wasn't funny in the immediate aftermath. But I was actually marking Darren O'Sullivan initially. And I think Kerry scored a goal from the throw up straight away, I think, in that game.
40 seconds.
So we went into that game like thinking ourselves that we were favourites. So this is like the amazing Kerry team with all the O'Shea's, Ty Cannelly, Paul Galvin, Gooch was obviously peak at that time. And they'd won 06 and 07, the All-Irelands. They lost in the final in 08. But that year, they were in the qualifiers, and I think Sligo nearly beat them, Longford nearly beat them. So we came in and we were really confident. Classic old-school Dublin. And they scored a goal from the throw-up. David Henry, who was actually American Gooch, slid into the post trying to stop that goal. And he did his hip. So he couldn't run. So eventually, like a minute later, one of our selectors runs on and goes, look, Heno's under pressure there, Paddy, so you'll go over and mark the Gooch. And my reaction, this is what kind of my mentality at the time, I was like, what, are you serious? Like laughing there, you go, I can't mark him. That was my mentality on the pitch. So I trot over and marked him, well, attempted to, and he went on to score about 110. Dublin lost by, I think it was 17 or 18 points in the end. And do you know what? It turned out that game and how we approached that and our whole mentality around that game was probably a changing point, most certainly for that group and under Pat Gilroy. And Dublin started to become far more steelier and far more competitive to ultimately winning the All-Ireland 2 years later by beating Kerry, you know. But for me, a very chastening experience, looking back,
It's remarkable. can you explain then, outside of the positional change, the mentality change that you talk about there and the practical ways you went about actually transforming that in the space of a year or two?
Yeah, well, I think it was the whole group that Pat kind of brought that in, and you can't kind of underestimate the influence that he had and the 2011 win had in starting the run that Dublin are now on. Like, that was kind of the spark that lit the flame for what's happening today. So you can just see, even the following year, I think we lost to Cork in the 2010 semi-final. We were ahead. We probably should have won that game. We lost it by a couple of points. Cork won the All-Ireland, but there was definitely a mentality change. And even how we played, it was very noticeable. We became a lot more physical, a lot more robust in how we went about things. And that was Pat and his influence. Basically, we weren't going to fold like we had the previous year. And it was everything. It was the whole environment, the training we did, how we approached games. Like I say, we went into that Kerry game thinking we were favourites based on nothing. Just we were being distracted. Outside influences were kind of believing our own hype and that side of things. So that was the start that we all, as a group and individually players, just started saying, right, we need to start paying the price. We need to be more focused. Ultimately, if we're going to be successful and beat these teams. And that's why 2011, once we got over the line and beat Kerry in 2011 and the burden had been lifted, we'd finally seen this is what it takes to win an All-Ireland. It's just snowballed since then. And that's such a key moment in, like I say, Dublin's success over the last decade.
Was there a moment, Paddy, that you realised that the culture had changed to a point where you reckoned you were going to win the All-Ireland?
For me, I definitely did, because I was thrown off the panel in 2011 before we won it. So I actually missed the 2011 All-Ireland because it probably took me a little bit longer to understand that. I was a young player and I had a really honest conversation with Pat, and that's how he operated, and that was exactly what was needed. at that time for the whole team that, listen, what we're doing at the minute is not good enough. We need to change how we approach games. And you can even say straight away that the first game of the 2010 season, we played Kerry in the National League down at Killarney, and we had loads of new players. I think it was Michael Dermacaulay's, Kevin McMenamin's debut for Dublin. And we ended up winning the game down at Killarney. Dublin hadn't won away against Kerry in years. And it was a really dour game, typical February match. But we dogged it out. And that was the first steps of saying that this is how the new Dublin is going to play. We're not going to give anything away easy. We're going to be hard to play against. And once you have those foundations and you could see the culture growing and the confidence growing, we just kind of carried on from there. But Pat was very influential in leading that and obviously to the players to buy into it as well.
How do you feel when you are thrown off the panel and Dublin are after winning an All-Ireland without you?
Honestly, I was shocked. Like, I was rattled, definitely. I'd kind of played a lot underage and like I said, I had success with DCU and things like that and would have been earmarked to go on and be a big player for Dublin throughout that period. And I probably, again, part of the problem, I believed that too much, I suppose, and I just wasn't performing to the level that I needed to be at and contributing to the team. And it kind of happens a lot with younger players. You see it, guys come onto the panel, it mightn't happen straight away, they're dropped, they go back to their clubs. Some guys never come back, some guys do then, and their career kicks off. There's usually a bedding in period joining a senior panel for a couple of years. And it just took me a little bit longer, but what Pat said, he goes, look, go back to the club, we need you to start trying to play to your potential and basically start paying the price, make the sacrifices needed to try and win an All-Ireland. And sure enough, 3 months later, for the first time in 16 years, Dublin won the All-Ireland, and I'm kind of sitting on the couch at home watching it. So, look, it was disappointing personally. Delighted for the lads because I'd been on the panel a couple of years prior to that, so I would have had relationships with a lot of the guys. But it was the right call. It totally was from Pat.
And did you know that at the time, Paddy, or were you feeling a bit sore?
Yeah, no, I would have. I have to say, you know, I did. You know, initially there's disappointment, obviously, but I would have and always have had a really good relationship with Pat and still do today, but if I'm being honest with myself, and I would be kind of harsh with myself, and certainly as I've gotten older, I'd nearly be my harshest critic, but it was the right thing. And obviously the team went on and had the success. And then I learned my lesson. I was back on the panel the following year and obviously then went on to play for the following 10 years. But that kind of the hurt, I suppose, personally and learning that lesson, it does drive serious hunger. And it did for me. And you know, that was the slap on the wrist, I suppose, to learn that lesson and start understanding what it took to play for Dublin and try and be successful for Dublin. So it was the right call, but it was hard, of course it was.
Is it too much of a stretch to say that it helped define you as a player, Paddy, after that? Because I think, like, when you talk to people about the strengths and the qualities that you've brought to the game over the last 10 plus years, it's your self-sacrifice and your capacity to make the others around you look good, notwithstanding some outstanding years indeed, and we might get to that in a second. But is it a stretch to say that that experience helped shape you and that sort of selflessness almost?
No, look, it definitely would have had an impact, most certainly. In terms of how I played going forward after that, like, my style of play was like that naturally anyway, that
right.
You know, I would have, generally how Dublin would have played over, particularly under Jim Gavin, say, the first 3 or 4 years, and we had that success. When I became established in the team playing at full forward, like, we moved the ball really quickly. We would have attacked pretty much from everywhere and kicked the ball really fast transition. So while you're in the full forward line, I would have generally been in there with say, Bernard Brogan and Dean Rock. Someone needs to go out and win that ball and play in the link and get the ball off our half-backs or you know, James McCarthy or Brian Fenton has the ball 70 yards from goal. There's not much point in them launching a high ball into Bernard and Dean. You know, those two guys' greatest strengths is they're obviously just like a fox in the box, unbelievably clinical. So we want to keep those guys as close to goal as you possibly can. But someone needs to go out and get the ball 40, 50 yards from goal and receive those kick passes. So that was essentially my role. But that was, I turn and then try and get the ball into the guys. So it mightn't have been the most glamorous side of things, but that suited my game. I was naturally quite good at that anyway. And I was more than happy to get the ball into guys like that. And in later years, it would have been Paul Mannion and things like that. So they were better probably at the finishing side of things. And people call it selfless how I would have played, but that was kind of naturally my game anyway, you know?
I was just going to ask, Paddy, did you feel that you actually got better and that your contributions were greater after 2014? Like, if we talk about 2009 as a significant year for Dublin, 2014 seemed like a significant year as well in terms of how your style changed. And it did seem that your personal form in 15 and 16 was maybe your best form in your career. Was that linked at all to the defeat in 2014?
Possibly, but that also kind of just... my age, I was kind of coming into my prime age as well. And then also experience. I mean, 2013, Jim's first year was probably one of my best years. That it was my first year really starting all the time and becoming a kind of established player for Dublin. So that gives you confidence. And like I say, your career kind of goes through these phases. You come onto the panel, you're a couple of years trying to figure things out. You might get a few runs. Then you get a breakout season and that gives you confidence. And 2013 was that for me. I got injured in 14 and then we obviously lost to Donegal. And look, that game has been spoken about so much. That was a swinging point for the whole team, not just for me personally in terms of how we approached. Like, we probably had to be a bit more structured and a bit more defensive. We were playing kind of like Harlem Globetrotter stuff, which was great in 2013. We won the All-Ireland, but we learned a lot of lessons from 14 and that defeat. And then for me in 2015, the team were really focused on look, winning back the All-Ireland. We felt we were the best team in the country, but we were caught by Donegal and Kerry won the All-Ireland in 14. So as a team and a group, we were really, really focused on winning the All-Ireland back. And for me, I was obviously thinking that as well. But then it was also just my age profile. I think it might have been 25 or so at the time. I was ready to step up along with the rest of the team. And that was an amazing season for all of us. I think we probably played some of our best football and were involved in some incredible games. So, yeah, it was a bit of both, the loss to Donegal and then also just my own stage in my career.
When we're looking at the chatting to you this morning, Paddy, over the last couple of days, I was looking at, so what you do when you have a former Dublin player in this current squad coming out, you look at, see, all right, we'll see how many All-Stars they have. For the introduction.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Is that because like players rightly value those things and they come along and they're lovely to get. Like when you mentioned some of the years, you know, 13, maybe 15, was that has it been a source of frustration for you?
Anyone who says they don't care about All-Stars, they're lying to you. The medals mean more and all that stuff. No, but I was nominated a couple of times and stuff like that, but like, no, not really. Like, and this is funny. Like, I announced my retirement last week, and I would have loads of conversations and lovely messages from teammates and ex-teammates and everyone along the way. And I had a conversation with Paul Flynn. I'd be very close with Paul Flynn, who obviously stepped away last year. And we were just chatting about our careers and the success we had. We would have played minor together with Dublin, and we never won anything. We just weren't successful underage. And he said, you look back on what we'd achieved. And for me, whatever, 7 All-Irelands. You know, when I was dropped off the panel in 2011 and you missed that first one, I didn't know if I'd ever play for Dublin again at all. So when I kind of hang up the boots and say, Jesus, I've won 7 All-Irelands, been part of such an incredible team and won however many Leinsters or National Leagues, there's no way you can look back and say, geez, with regret, or think, geez, I'd love one more thing, you know. I am I'm blessed to be part of such an incredible team. And like I said, they're far better players than me who never won an All-Ireland or are playing today who haven't had a chance to win an All-Ireland. So I think it would be a bit rich to look back and say, geez, I'd love a couple more All-Stars or something like that. But no, it was just, I was happy to contribute to my role in the team throughout those years and the success and form and part of the culture that we have today, you know.
So on All-Star nomination morning, is the Dublin Footballer WhatsApp group hopping?
Oh, flat out. Everyone's waiting. Have you heard anything yet? Have you any word for you? And yeah, anyone who hasn't been nominated just leaves the group that day and they come back. Yeah. It's some great nights at the All-Stars, to be fair, but never got one of the awards, unfortunately, but yeah.
Paddy, you mentioned something at the very start of the interview, actually, about your decision to step away and asking yourself, am I still adding value? How do you determine that, what value you're adding to the Dublin squad?
Well, look, the most obvious thing and what people will see from the outside is the output that you provide on the pitch, and that's how you're contributing. But in later years, for me, it's probably been last season towards the end of 19, I was kind of out of the team. I wasn't playing as much towards the end of James' reign and obviously with Desi. So you need to contribute some way. And like I said, that's probably a natural thing for the majority of players. They go through that phase that they're in the team, and as they come to the end, their game time is probably a little bit less. But you still have a role. You still have a duty, I suppose, to contribute to the group in terms of your preparation, your analysis, your conversations, and newer players coming through into the team. And basically just being part of a really good culture within the group. And you probably would see this if you ask anyone about what's a key to Dublin success or what's the secret behind their success. And a lot of guys would say culture, and people might roll their eyes and say it's quite hard to determine that. But things like that, if you're not playing, contributing to the group on the training pitch, off the training pitch, preparation for games, reviewing games, and also just trying to push things on. Like I was 32 last summer, up against it trying to get minutes, but I was still training as hard as I possibly could to try and contribute and get back onto the pitch. And that pushes on other guys. And I know when I was maybe slightly younger, and like Alan Brogan, for example, was coming to the end of his career, and going out and seeing Alan Brogan going out training on his own, or going out kicking before half an hour before training, you know, this guy's one of the best Dublin players of all time. And there he is, everything he's won, he's still pushing it out. And that had a huge impact on me. And I would like to think that, and the conversations I have with guys, that I could help, you know, Conns O'Callaghan's initially, and then Paddy Small and Sean Bugler and those guys last year. So it is, you can't just, oh, I'm not playing anymore, I'm out the gap, good luck, lads. You know, that's not being part of a team player. That's not being adding value to the group and providing culture and positive impact on the team. So that's how I would like to think I would have played or contributed over the last couple of years.
What are you doing, Paddy, to help the lads when you talk about giving them? Is that like, is there practical stuff in that, or is it more sort of off the pitch? Or yeah, with those younger players, what are you doing to actually help them?
It's both. Like, guys will come in and they mightn't have played much championship football. Like, they mightn't have played against particular opposition before, and different styles of play or different man-to-man opponents. And also just Dublin would have quite a unique style of playing. Like, we have a very set way on how we play and how we attack. And for newer guys coming into the team, that they might, and they are incredibly talented, but they might not be used to necessarily playing that way. It's very different playing with your club and you're the main man and you're shooting the lights out and you pull the trigger from everywhere, to then coming into the Dublin attack and it's quite structured in how we do things. So there'll be lots of conversations around that. Like I said, I played for 12 years. So I was used to and involved in kind of evolving that strategy. So chatting with younger guys around that side of things. Then also just skills sessions and, listen, I'm going kicking tomorrow evening. Come on down, we'll do 40 minutes. That sort of things. And just conversations you have, little nuggets, anything you can give on the pitch or off the pitch, even just having a coffee with guys, that sort of impact that you can have and a positive influence on younger players.
I spent a lot of this morning talking about what's going on at Liverpool and trying to maintain that hunger. Now, like, to be fair, what you've achieved has absolutely blitzed that out of the water. But like, I've been interested in the number of names, obviously the profile of some of the names and the players that have walked away over the last while, either retired or, in Jack McCaffrey's case, obviously taking that year out. Paul Mannion's going to take another year out now. And I know Jack McCaffrey was with Bernard Brogan on his podcast a few months ago and was talking about the decision after the drawing game in 2019, and he thinking, oh, I can't believe we have to do another week of this. How difficult is it to, like, within that sort of maintain the hunger and the drive? You mentioned, like, Leinster a little while ago, like, to get up for another Leinster game against Westmeath that you know you're going to win by 10 or 12 points.
Look, I think that is one of the key aspects of the success we've been able to have, and the consistency of that success. Like, the environment within Dublin, and that's been created over the last 7 or 8 years, starting with Pat and then being driven on by Jim and now with Desi. Everyone in that group is constantly, without fail, challenging each other to get better. So, and that is the players. It's a really challenging environment to be in. It's full on. Like, I'll go in and the players will challenge me to get better. we'll challenge the coaches to get better. Like, we want to improve training. How do we get fitter? How do we get faster? How do we get stronger? What tactics are we using? The coaches will challenge us as players because they know how good we are and they want more and more out of us. So that whole environment is just about getting better all the time. And I'm like, Stephen Klux is an obvious example, Brian Fenton, these guys are the absolute pinnacle of their positions and they're still challenging, how do I improve? And that environment is created and you buy into that environment. So when you're in that situation, there's never a game where you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a handy game. I can kind of take my foot off the gas here or anything like that. You need to be on, and for 10 years for me going in playing with Dublin, every single training session, you need to be on. There's never a, oh, I might take a handy tonight or I don't fancy it this evening. So there was always, that had to be the mentality, because if you didn't have that mentality and you're kind of taking the mick a bit or you're taking your foot off the gas, the players will call, everyone's held accountable. The players will call you out. The coaches will call you out. And if you're not mentally and physically ready to give that commitment, if you see that as a chore or as a sacrifice, and you know your mates are at home and they're going on holidays or your family have a wedding and go, can you come to this? Like, no, I'm training with Dublin. Or we're going away on a holiday. Go, no, we've training camp with Dublin. If you ever see that as a chore or mentally you're not enjoying that, well, then you'd step away. But for our group, anyway, for me, we always just seen that we wanted to get better. So that was the culture and the atmosphere there. So that led to just continued improvement and continued success. And when you come to the end of the road, so like Jack stepping away last year, Paul obviously now for the foreseeable future, and even me, myself, towards the end of last season, it's when that does become a bit more challenging and you're going to training and you're thinking to yourself, Jesus, I'm actually not really up for this. That's when the hunger is. That tells you, that makes your decision for you. I don't have the energy or I don't have the physical means to go and give this absolutely everything, because you'll be found out in about two training sessions. There might be one where you're a little bit off. If it happens again, you'll know yourself, but the group will also know. And that's what happens. It's what happened with Jack. It's probably what's happened with Paul. And it definitely was part of my decision. If you see it as a sacrifice and if you see it as a chore, it shouldn't be. But if it is, well, then it's time to go and move on, because the environment with Dublin, you need to be on all the time, and that's the demands. And that ultimately is the key to the success we've had, that consistency. Doesn't matter who we're playing, like you say, if it's whoever, Westmeath or something, or if it's Kerry in the All-Ireland Final, the atmosphere and what was demanded of us as players and coaches was at the highest level all the time. And that's why we've had success.
We threw it open to our viewers this morning, Paddy, to get some questions in for you, and plenty of them coming our way over the last 24 hours or thereabouts. Viewers and listeners and big Dublin fans out there as well, like this one from Alan Brogan. Ask him about the accident with the golf buggy in Glasgow.
Yeah, I seen that last night. He actually sent it on to me. Glasgow, yeah. So this is like, this was Pat Hiller was in charge. This is the most classic GAA, the most traditional GAA training camp ever. We went to Glasgow for 2 days. So the first day, this might have been 2010 maybe, the first day we arrive and we train like absolute demons. The classic, like 2 hours on the pitch, running till you can't move anymore. We crawled off the pitch. So really good training session. And of course, what do we do that night? We go on an almighty session. To completely nullify the work we just done. And then the next morning we wake up, lads have had about 20 minutes sleep, and we go out and play five-a-side soccer, heads and volleys, and then we fly home. So a really productive training camp. But in the midst of that, whatever, 36 hours we had in Glasgow, there may or may not have been golf buggies involved. I may or may not have lost four of my front teeth, and we flew home, and that was it. I don't want to bore listeners with the details.
You lost your front teeth.
There's loads of questions, I'm sure. So that's a funny memory looking back. And it's funny, like, when I announced my retirement last week, you have these conversations with guys and old teammates and stuff, and you start reminiscing. You don't really think about these things when you're playing, because it's just the next game, the next game, the next game. So I actually look back at my career, and the message I get off lads, all the best memories, it's so funny, are things like that, you know, training camps or team holidays or nonsense jokes and laughs around the training ground and stuff like that. very little is of, I'm thinking of the All-Irelands you won or All-Ireland finals and stuff like that. The things you chat about and you laugh about and you enjoy are golf buggy incidents. Like Alan, like I said, that's over 10 years ago. And him and Pat Kilroy still say this story to me every time. So, but yeah, it's funny looking back.
And it raises more questions than it's answered, Paddy. We might have to come back to that one again.
Yeah, we might come back to that.
We'll go through some of these in fairly rapid fire, right? So a lot in here about the Wolf, the nickname. Where did that come from?
Well, this is a breakfast show. I don't want to bore our listeners with details. We might have to come back to that one after the watershed as well.
Right.
That was a nickname that stuck and still does for... Yeah, kind of since I started. And you know it sticks. Remember we were doing a team meeting under Jim Gavin, and Jim Gavin started referring to me as the Wolf, and I knew then, geez, this is going to stick. So again, we'll revisit that after the order.
We've had one in here from a guy called Kieran Kilkenny, who's wondering your favourite golf course and your best four ball.
Favourite golf course... I know what he's getting at here. Myself and him actually went on a trip after last year's All-Ireland, the five in a row. We went to New York. We played Liberty National in New York, or New Jersey, I think it is. You get the boat across. And we played there, and that was an incredible day and experience. Golf wasn't great, but we go crack. The best four ball that I've played with. I'll throw Kieran in because he's obviously looking for that by asking that question. Paul Flynn is pretty good. And then just for novelty, Michael Dermacauley would be good because he absolutely despises golf. And he wears the sandals and his long shorts and his basketball jersey. So the country club members, they shudder when Mick comes through the clubhouse on any golf days we have in Dublin. But yeah, he'd be a good man to have in.
For that reason alone. Best player that you played against?
The best player I played against? We used to play Ballymun, the club championship, and James McCarthy used to mark me, and that was just a nightmare. Shambles. He's just relentless. A horror show. So as a double player, James would have been a hard one. And then to say Gooch in my cornerback days, that was a bloodbath. So two of them.
What else have we got here? Keith Ford wondering, what's the golf handicap going to be during the summer?
I think I'm 12 now, so... I'm going to give it a lot of time to golf over the summer when the lockdown lifts. So hopefully get down at the single digits would be the plan. It won't be for lack of trying anyway.
Jay on Instagram, most naturally gifted Dublin player that you've played with?
Dermo.
Right. Goes without saying.
Freakish. Always was. Would have played underage with him the whole way up. Everyone knows that's just an absolutely incredible player. And so natural. Yeah, unbelievable.
Stephen Malloy wants to know what you're going to miss the most.
The lads. Training, the hard training and stuff like that. It was great as part of the group, but the success and playing in Croke Park and stuff like that. But definitely just the lads. We'd be very close as a group, and I'm sure you could probably see that from the outside. And we'd have big, close relationships with a lot of the guys. So, yeah, when you're out and you hang up the boots, you are out. You're on the outside. So, yeah, I'll miss that. Miss the guys.
I'm going to make a tweak on Mark Butterley's question here about the young forwards that we should watch out for. One name of a player that we don't know about coming through with Dublin who's going to make a big splash in the next year or two.
I don't know who. Some of the under-20s, we would have seen them. They kind of used to train down beside us in St. Clair's and DCU. And, they were a serious team. They didn't get over the line, but I'm sure there's going to be, particularly now that there's probably a couple of guys leaving the panel. There'll be three or four of those guys coming through onto the senior team. But like I say, it usually takes a year or two to find your feet. But I'm sure there's going to be a couple of those guys that'll make an impact in the coming years.
And one last for the rapid fire one here. We'll squeeze it in before we leave. Lauren Glancy and Ronan Hurricane both asking for your most memorable match that you played in.
Most memorable match. Do you know what I'd say? The best performance and that I'd look back on, and then for the team as well, it was probably the 2017 semi-final against Tyrone. I remember going into that game, we hadn't played Tyrone in years. They were in Division 2 and we just hadn't crossed paths in a couple of years, and they were flying it. They were in, they'd won Ulster, And everyone, like, they had this game plan that was going to beat Dublin. And we remember we had 3 weeks preparing for that game. And we were actually probably a little bit, not nervous, but we were, there was a sense of the unknown playing against Tyrone. They had this defensive style of play. We'd obviously struggled against that against Donegal a couple of years previous. And we just didn't know what to expect, really. But the preparation we put in for that game was off the charts. And we went out. And you know when you do all that preparation and it just clicks and it executes. Conn scored a goal early on and we ended up winning the game by 13 or 14 points. And they were a really good team, but we just absolutely shut them down and everything we prepared for came off. And I remember just the sense of satisfaction after that game. It was probably one of our best performances of the Jim Gavin era. I played well enough as well, which always helps, so I was happy with that. So personally and collectively, that is a game that just kind of stuck out and showed the preparation we put in and the work we put in off the pitch. That's what it takes to be successful. And that day was such a definition of that hard work and preparation.
Yeah, well, listen, an incredible career and an absolute pleasure catching up with you over the last half an hour thereabouts, Paddy. Thanks a million. Congratulations again.
No worries, guys. Thanks a million for having me on. Take it easy.
Thanks a lot, Paddy Andrews, there, former Dublin footballer, joining us this morning to reflect on his life and times as a Dublin footballer and onwards and upwards now for him.
TV Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein powered chicken bites.